Welcome to Flipping Off, a purpose-driven podcast about flipping houses and making a difference.
The man, the myth, the legend, Batman himself. So the man with the tool belt when it comes to creative acquisition. So Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks awesome. For having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we've got, obviously, John over there.
Hi.
We've got Tim, the... I think he's Robin to your Batman.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, the other option is Batgirl.
Pretty substantial Batman himself, I think.
Yeah. Wow, there you go.
I'm thinking spandex right now. That's all I'm thinking. That's what I'm just.
Do they know the story of Batman?
No,
why it's Batman?
I think most people don't understand why we call you Batman or why we went with Batman as a theme today.
So that's a great segue into maybe sharing a little bit about behind the story of Batman.
Sure. I always talk about superheroes, and different superheroes are different because they have different abilities. Well. You know, Superman is a superhero because he can do things other people can't do because he's from outer space. He's different. Spider-Man is a superhero because he has the strength of a bug. You know, I mean, he's different. You know, he was bit by a spider. Batman is different in that he simply uses his intelligence and his resources to do what he does. There's nothing special about him. I tell people he's probably a real estate investor because he's got lots of cash. But he uses creativity. And so that's why Batman is my favorite superhero. And so that's why people kind of nickname us Batman, because we are creative and we use our resources, not anything special, nothing that nobody else has.
Right. And there you have it. Now everybody knows, right? And we'll keep this on file, I guess. Because I think I've heard this before, right?
But it's not because I wear spandex, no.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So creative acquisitions, right? So for those of you out there that don't know about Chris started out as a school teacher. Now, refresh my memory. What grade?
I taught high school English for 10 years in the public schools in Illinois. Okay. And my mother had been a real estate investor. She was a school teacher as well. And I'd seen her success. And when my wife wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, we wanted to empower that decision. So I needed to do something more. I needed to do something different. And so we decided that real estate was an avenue that I could be successful at. And so I started buying some rental real estate in Illinois, and it just kind of kept growing from there. And eventually, 300 plus units later, it's what I do. It's really become my passion.
You look on your face, man. 300 units later.
300 units later. Yeah.
So.
And it had awesome. To be creative, because on a teacher salary, you don't just buy hundreds of properties.
On an Illinois teacher salary.
On an Illinois teacher salary, yeah. Right. Maybe out here, but I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, awesome. So obviously, the things that you teach and the things that you do on a daily basis are really based on your experience and what you had to, I guess, the obstacles you had to overcome, mm-hmm. right, to really develop that creativity, if you will.
Right. Yeah, I teach classes in creative acquisition. I teach classes in, avoiding pitfalls in real estate. And I teach classes in, buy and hold, fix and flip. It's really all about math and making sure. The biggest mistake people are going to make is with their math. Real estate is a very forgiving industry, given enough time, and if you don't do the math wrong.
Right.
And so that's the biggest challenge. And then there are people out there who can help you, and there are people out there who will hurt you. And so we just have to be aware of those things. So just being aware, being educated, that's the most important thing.
Sure. So I like to say that the numbers never lie unless you lie about the numbers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot of people who do.
I'm hearing a lot about like the wholesalers who send me deals.
Right.
Right, everything's great, right? There's like a $700,000 margin on this.
That's right.
But not really. So very cool. So now you guys, you've missed how many of his classes?
Oh, I don't think I've ever missed an entire class, but there's been a couple times where I had homeowner meetings. Probably twice I've missed sections of Chris's class, but I'm typically here and absorbing everything I possibly can.
Yeah, and that's the key in our business, right, is to your point, Chris, that get educated, be good with math.
Right.
But definitely the crux is get educated, understand what to do, what not to do, and then surround yourself with the right people.
Right. Right.
So now, John, you've done some creative stuff as well, and mm-hmm. I know that a lot of it came from listening to Chris and Tim. And
absolutely. I remember sat in Chris's class for the first time because I wasn't able to go to Chris's class kind of first year and a half. And then eventually I was able to attend the class, and I sat there for whatever it was, 6 hours, and it just blew my mind for the entire time. But it was, you know, you just got to listen very carefully. It's very creative, but at the same time, the way Chris brings it across is very simple. You can be very creative, you've just got to have it all organized. So for me, the idea of, you know, even something like Subject 2 or something like that, it just didn't make sense to me. But then eventually, now we're, you know, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, we just got a new one up in Hemet that we're looking at now, and we're getting very creative, taking the mortgage over Subject 2, splitting, doing an equity split with the homeowner as well. You know, all the numbers make sense. But, you know, for me, I don't have access to Chris every day, so Tim's my next stop, and, you know, hey, Tim, can I ask you about this deal? Can I talk these numbers through? And I know Chris has obviously learned from the best. Tim's learned from the best with Chris. So
right, absolutely.
Makes a lot of sense.
So, you know, the cool thing about that is that, so you're going off and doing your own thing now and being creative about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim's off doing things. Tim and I work together pretty close, and we're doing things. And then other people learn from us, right? So it's kind of like there's this ripple effect that you've created, Chris.
Absolutely. It makes me feel really good. It does. You know, I know. You know, for a couple of years, I taught with the guru programs out there. There was a promoter out of Florida, and we would go out every weekend and be teaching different real estate trainings, and I would be representing different gurus because it was just a promoter. We were just hired guns. And I knew that the people in those classes, anybody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also knew that most of them would not.
Yeah.
And it's primarily because they won't get involved with a group of people who are doing it. And that's the difference. People who say, you know, hey, that guy on TV, he did that deal and took him 30 minutes to do it. I think I can do that in 20, you know?
Right.
And those are the people who are destined for failure because they're not mm-hmm. seeking the right resources. They're not seeking the right people to lean on. And there are a lot of people who will educate you and who can educate you. There's a lot of people who can put it together. The most important thing people can do is get involved in a group that is doing what they envision themselves to do. And move forward with that support system and that network, because without it, it's very hard. I mean, I had my mother. I mean, that was my group. But right. Absent of that, I wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Nice, very good advice. It's similar to the challenges that we face, right? Getting started.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that from the creative perspective, do you think people too often try to get too creative?
You know, I think that a lot of people hear creative strategies,
mm-hmm.
and because there may be a deal there, the creative strategy may work, they will fudge on their numbers.
Right.
I was teaching a group in Omaha this past week, and after the session, that was before I got here, been a busy week. After the session, a guy came up to me and said, okay, if I wanted to fudge on the numbers, I have a house. Yes, what it was. I mean, that was his question. I have a house I'm interested in. I think I've got it worked out where there's the deal, but if I wanted to fudge on the numbers, which of these numbers could I fudge on? And the answer is don't. You know, right. It's not a deal. If the numbers don't work, yep. don't do that deal.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Technically, you can fudge on your profit. I mean, that's because ultimately that's what's going to suffer if you fudge on the numbers.
Right.
But you know, it's amazing. A lot of people can deliver information. I believe that there are people who can deliver it more understandably than others. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information out there. The most important thing is taking action and being involved with an organization that can help, that you can just kind of lean on and commiserate or be excited about. I mean, it's just, it's like being in a family.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Cause that's, when I was starting out, that was my challenge, right? As I went, I chased the dream and I chased education. And inevitably, right, I was left with, okay, so I learned something, now what? What's my next step? Where am I going to go? And really nobody to ask questions of, mm-hmm. right? So, and that leads to obviously failure because you have no choice but to quit, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or at least put it on pause for an extended period of time, which I did. I think I got bit by the bug in 97, right? After I bought my first house. And I really didn't do anything till 05. And then it was like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, right? And then in 11 is like when I really got into this and it started working for me. But it was exactly that reason, like Chris was saying, that surrounding myself with the right people, getting the right education, and then applying that with a safety net, if you will, of a team behind me and around me to help me through that process. Because otherwise, I'd have been drowning, for sure.
Do you know, thinking back, when I first thought about real estate was watching one of those infomercials late night. It was actually in, I know, it was 2004, 2005, laid in bed and, you know, I was coaching soccer at the time, didn't know anything about real estate, and I saw one of those infomercials on TV, buy houses, no money, no credit. Mm-hmm. I said, do you know what? $197, I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna become a real estate investor with $197 and this, but I wish I still had it. Because this box was huge with probably 20 books in there, 20 DVDs in there. And I opened it up, I read the first couple of pages, and stuff it, I can't do that, it's too much information. But it sold us something great. And you know, you don't realize the potential opportunities it has, that there are those deals that you can get creative where it's, you know, you're buying it subject to, there's no money going into it in that respect. But more often than not, there is money in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, that was 2004, and then I didn't start here at the club until 2013. So I saw that box and thought, too much information, put it aside, and then waited another 8 or 9 years before I joined the club.
So it wasn't just me. Thanks, John.
No. I've been there.
I remember my first purchase from an infomercial. It was books and tapes, literally cassette tapes. And and you know, I devoured that stuff, and it was good. And I went out and took some action. Some of the action was wrong. And I kept taking action. I'm in a market that's a little bit cheaper than it is out here. So in the Midwest, we can buy houses a little cheaper. So the deals are a little bit less risky from that perspective, but everything feels like a big deal. You know, and creativity is that's the real trick. There was a guru, and it was one of the gurus that I was teaching for years ago, and he had some kind of a challenge where he would fly into a city and he would find no money down deals, and he would do that. The challenge is they weren't good deals, but he didn't say that, you know. I mean, anybody can overpay for anything, you know. I mean, if my house is upside down and I owe $200,000 more than it's worth, mm-hmm. and somebody will say, hey, I'll take it subject to that mortgage, you know, you may be okay with that. And, you know, you might get three or four of those deals in a weekend. That doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And so it's really important. I mean, I'm just, and Tim, something Tim and I are working with right now, in 2008, I sold 100 rental units for $2.2 million, which if you do the math, it kind of tells you about my market a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when I sold those units, it was to a guy who he was a real estate attorney. He was an adjunct professor in a university, teaching real estate and negotiations. He got a first position mortgage for 80%. I carried back a 30% second, so he was literally into this $2.2 million transaction for nothing. He walked away with a check. And then for the next 9 years, I think his goal was to never spend money on it. So as the properties diminished and you don't fix them up, you just keep renting them cheaper, and eventually the first position mortgage wasn't getting paid. I didn't get paid after 6 months on mine. And wow. So, you know, I wasn't going to foreclose off of $1.8 million first. So I just kind of waited to see what would happen. And after 9 years, the first position mortgage took some action. Their action created a situation where the properties were worth even less. Then they went away. And so in order to satisfy me, he recently deeded a number of those properties back over to me. So now I have, well, recently, last summer, I ended up with a bunch of challenging derelict rental houses. And that's when I called Tim. And I said, look, you know, the only way I'm going to get made whole on this is to fix these houses again. And so with some of Tim's resources, we've been working through that scenario, rehabbing a number of rental properties, fixing them, more fixers than rehabs, but getting them occupied. And then we've been selling some in order to pay for the fix-up of the others. And so having, again, knowing the right people, being in the right team, you're able to do more than if you're doing it all alone.
Right.
I've heard Dave talk about it a few times, about Tim getting excited at the opportunity to do a deal with you. And,
I don't know that Chris knows that story.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about what the deal entails, other than I just heard Dave say one day Tim got excited because Chris is calling him and it's to discuss something that Tim can potentially help Chris with.
That was the day that we were doing a podcast, wasn't it?
We were doing podcasts that day.
We were at the studio, we were going to do podcasts, and he gets a phone call, and it was like a kid in Christmas, right? Seriously, it was like he lit. Look, see the way he is right now? He just lit up, right? And we're like, what the?
Chris is calling.
Exactly.
Chris is calling me. Not the other way around.
I gotta take this call, guys. Sorry. All right, bro, go ahead. Take the call. And then he came back with a bigger smile, right? It was like ear to ear, and then some. So it was cool to see that for him. And it's awesome to hear that you guys are working together and doing things.
Absolutely.
So that's great.
And I need, what Tim brings to the table is very important to what we're doing.
Yeah, at that time you hadn't taken ownership of those properties yet. We were trying to figure out a creative way to get those properties back.
Exactly.
And how are you going to be able to take these properties back and make it make sense to where you don't take back bad stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like you just said, everybody can buy a bad deal. So we want to make sure that you weren't getting back into a bad deal. So it was really cool for me to get that call from Chris. And when it was like Chris calls, if I call Chris, he'll call me back. That's big deal. But when he just called me out of the blue, and when I answered it, he says, hey, I just want to run some stuff by you. I got a situation. I just wanted to bounce some ideas off you. And I was like,
that's right.
I've arrived.
Well, and it really was a brainstorming session. Yep. Situation, because sometimes we limit ourselves. And I thought, okay, probably the best I can do is some kind of equity sharing situation with somebody who has resources that I lack. I mean, that's the best equity sharing situation. You find somebody with what you lack. And as I talked with Tim and said, what do you think about how I'm thinking? Am I missing something? And he basically said, well, I think you're giving up too much. And so it was really through discussing the whole transaction and the potential with Tim that made me think about it in a different light and create another creative strategy that was really born out of out of the possibilities that existed beyond my limited vision of it right then. I mean, remember, I'd been feeling beaten up by this deal for 9 years. I mean, my goal was I was going to sell this. I was going to get $6,000 a month in mortgage payments, and I was going to be happy. Mm-hmm. I got $6,000 a month for 6 months and never again, and I was not happy. Right. And then I'm getting I'm not getting foreclosed on the bank, but I'm named as the second mortgagee in the bank foreclosure, and you know, none of it felt good. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, at least I've got a personal guarantee and I can make his life miserable. But that doesn't make me feel good either. So once we sorted out the right strategy, then it became much more fun.
Yeah. Right.
You know, there's an interesting thing that you said there, right? That when you, because essentially you're saying you were in the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the weeds, it's hard to see everything else that's going on around you. And so you really were stagnant in your creativity because you were so immersed in the situation,
right,
and the emotions, right? Mm-hmm. The finances behind it and all that. And that's a great lesson for everybody, right? Because that's where most mistakes are made, mm-hmm, right? Because you're suffering in silence. And you need to raise your hand, come up for air, and bring in the right people in. In this case, it happened to be Tim. So
that's and awesome. That's where most of our sellers are. That's really where most of our sellers live.
Great point, yeah.
That's
they live in the weeds.
They're in the weeds. And, you know, I know your organization, we teach that we're there to help them. And, mm-hmm, and that's a different mindset than the people who are out there to take advantage of them.
Yeah, that's definitely our forte, if you will, is making sure that we serve them first.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that's joined us and been a part of us and hangs out with us, is they buy into the idea that the homeowner comes first. And through that process, we serve them and we buy real estate, which works out really well. And paychecks are kind of nice.
Yeah, sure.
One of the cool things, well, I say cool things, but, you know, I never, inside of that conversation, that brainstorming conversation, I really didn't bring anything new back to the conversation. I only regurgitated back to Chris things that I've learned from him, right? So it literally was just a matter of, like, you taught me this, like, you're not seeing that, but you taught me this in class, or you taught me that as a strategy, and you're not seeing it, but that's a possibility here. So I think that all I did was really just give the 10,000 foot view where he was stuck in it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of cool. And now we're actually working on creative ways to exit the properties, right? Mm-hmm. So packaging up these properties in packages of 25 and 50 and selling them off to people who want positive cash flow.
Yeah. He said
25 and 50.
25 and 50. I mean, there's a lot of people that are just joining us here at the club. They're out finding that first deal. And, you know, I'm sat here going, oh, yeah, I've got creative. And I'm thinking, 25, 50, that's it.
Yeah.
I know the amounts are different, but it's, I mean, I couldn't even imagine trying to wrap my head around 100 properties and splitting them up and everything else that's going on. But
what's interesting is a 25 is probably the same as what some people would pay for one.
Depending on where you're at.
I mean, there's some markets where we do our analysis here in class, like we did this, you know, and, you know, we pull up a house and think, okay, wow, you know, I could get 10, 15 for that, you know?
Right.
What did you tell them? Just add a zero?
Just add a zero, right. If my numbers are unusual, just add a zero. It makes sense.
That's funny.
All makes sense.
That's funny, because just today, Oscar was in my office and Chris, and we were talking about a deal that Oscar and I are doing and how much money we're going to make, and Chris is like, holy cow. And I'm like, Chris, just if it bothers you that much, just remove a zero.
Just remove a zero.
He says the same thing to us all the time.
Yeah, now I get it.
Like, oh yeah, great deal.
Right.
So how many years, Tim, for you have you been taking Chris's class?
Oh, eight years.
So 8 years.
Mm-hmm. 8 years.
I find it so cool that, you know, having this conversation about, you know, you being in Chris's class and, you know, being so attentive to not miss a class, to learn and then be able to give back to Chris in the way that you've learned from Chris before. I just find that so cool that, you know, you found yourself in a position to, you know, work with and, you know, help your men to go through whatever it is they need to solve, you know, there. And I just find that incredible, really. It's, you know, and you're now doing this yourself. You're
I know you've taught me a bunch of things. I know if I need something creative, I'm coming knocking on your door first in this club. And I just think it's fantastic. So,
yeah, you know, it ties it right back to what Chris was talking about, right? That as long when you find the right group and you surround yourself with the right people, then all of the things that John just said are possible.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And it's possible for everybody involved, right? It's not, you know, like we coach people, we do all these things, and we learn a lot from them, right?
Right.
Through that process as well. So, and I'm sure the same, would you say you agree with that, Chris?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right? You know, it's just through the process of teaching, you're learning, and then you're teaching that you just learned, and then you learn some more stuff, and then you get even more creative. And it's tough to be creative, like a homeowner, right? To be creative when you're stuck in the weeds,
right?
Because there's so much pressure and everything else. But once you can step back, man, the possibilities are insane.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, like, for me, it was, like, I met Chris sitting in the room, right? As a student, as you know, as a club member, just like anybody else who happens to see Chris speak in public. And it was about probably 5 years ago. Has it been that long since Dave asked me if I wanted to go pick you up at the airport? And then from that moment on, I pick, you know, whenever Chris comes into town, I pick him up, we go have lunch, we spend an hour on the road, you know, from...
Really, an hour? Really?
They've gotten shorter over the years.
I was always wondering why the trip always took me out through, like San Francisco and places on the way back to the office.
We always take the long way. They call me Magellan around here. So, but at the end of the day, like, we had an opportunity to, first of all, we talked about different strategies, and when we started, I know I asked a lot of questions about deals, but then we actually started talking about personal stuff, and we started becoming more friends than anything else. And that's what you were saying, is we build real relationships with the people that we work with, and it's one of the coolest things when when your mentor becomes your friend, and you just start doing things together as opposed to just a phone call and asking how do I get this deal done, It's really cool.
Yeah, one of the things that I want to mention, I don't know who's going to be watching this, but I don't do mentorship. I don't do formal. The only things I do is I teach classes. Like I said last week, my schedule was I did an evening. I'm from Illinois. I did an evening presentation in Omaha. Came here. Next week I'll be in Denver and Nevada, the following week and so forth. People periodically come up and, do you have a business card? I don't give out my information. I don't do that because nothing about me is about me. It's always about where they are and the group. And so, because even if they have my business card, I don't know that particular market. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They think they're going to call me up and say, is this a good deal or not? And I won't have a clue. But the people here will. Right. And that's why I don't give out that information. Now, there's plenty of people who have my information, and Dave and Melina and Tim and all of you guys. You can give my phone number to anybody you want to who needs a question answered. That's not a problem for me. But I never promote myself, and I never, I don't have a program for anybody. What I do is I teach a class. So the most important thing is to be aligned with people who are doing what you want to do in your area, and that's true of everything, not just real estate. My son just graduated from seminary, and he's going to be a pastor. Just got his first job offer. It's really good.
Wow, awesome. That's cool.
I'm so excited about it. And but the people who want to be in his church, his community, he's not going to be nationwide. It's building a group, building a network, building a family. So it's true of whatever the endeavor. This just happens to be real estate, and I enjoy it immensely.
Right.
Yeah. And so what you guys just heard is why Dave and Melina built a relationship with Chris, because he gets it, I guess is the best way to put it, right? That the foundations are there, the basics are there, those are easily taught. But you have to know your market. You have to be around people that know that market.
Right.
So I appreciate what you said, because it's absolutely true. And you know, unfortunately, all of us have been through that circuit of buying things from coast to coast, right? It's just is what it is. And we all, you know, I get the mailers. I get my packages in the mail still from things that I...
the guru I used to teach with, their coaches were in a phone bank in Orlando, Florida. I mean, how are they going to speak to your deal here?
I mean, yeah,
that's right. I called it many times. And just think of the math. If the same coach is doing something here and doing something in my market, and the attorney fee is the exact same amount, think of the difference in a percentage of the deal that happens to be. And if they don't know that math, and that's what we bring it back to the math, if they don't know that that percentage may derail one deal and not another, then you need to find a different different organization.
Right.
Yeah, I like to believe that. I don't like to believe. I know for a fact that if you're not willing to put in the work, the time, the effort to find the right people, right, then don't even bother with this business.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just going to snap up whatever it is, the next shiny object, whatever it is, right, that comes your way, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to end up in a situation that you don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. And that's because I've been there. And I know what that looks like. I know what it feels like. And it's not fun at all. But this is home now. Right. This is where it's at. So
cool.
You have anything else? You guys are working on anything else? I think I'll tell you this.
We mainly... We're working on different strategies to exit these, you know, 100 or so properties, and we, like I said, we're ready to package them up into packages of as small as one deal, right? I mean,
yeah, we wouldn't do that.
We can do one property, one offs, but we're looking at packaging up in 25 to 50 properties at a piece at a time, and then, you know. Fully rented, fully rehabbed, fully managed, hands off type investment.
So it's a complete solution.
Yeah. It's a complete solution.
But one of the things, I mean, I always tell people, understand the motivation and then you'll be able to understand the creative solution. If you don't understand the motivation, then you don't. So my motivation is I got back from this individual. I mean, I have a number of properties and different LLCs that have nothing to do with this deal. But I took back 58 units that were in need of some serious work. The ones, remember, I sold 100. Mm-hmm. There were 42 that I didn't even want back. So that's how bad they were. The ones I took back needed fixed more than rehabbed, but the ones we needed to fix up. So... We were able to creatively acquire the funds to fix them up, but the motivation is I need to pay those funds and to recoup the investment. So it's not that I really want to get rid of all my properties. I don't. I'm a buy and hold guy. I want to own as much as I can. But what will happen is I'll end up owning about half of them by selling the other half. And so that's my motivation, to sell half of it in order to pay for what I'm going to be able to keep. And so like Tim said, we're looking for a buyer who is, about 1.25, 1.5, and we can put together 50 properties, half of that, we can put together 25 properties. And it sounds like a lot of properties, but we were talking about this earlier when we were doing the analysis. The more the properties, the more stable the portfolio. If you have one property and it goes vacant, it's mm-hmm. a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. But if you got 25, 50, and one or two goes vacant, or even three or four, it's much more stable.
Right.
And so this is for somebody who's just like, maybe not excited about where the stock market is or whatever, and they're interested in something in real estate, that's really who we're looking for. I don't do deals with students, so if you've ever seen my name before, don't call. but I will, because students have a different expectation. I want them to be I want them to be interested in the deal, not interested in the relationship with me. So that's the key. And so that, you know, that's the main thing that I'm doing. I'm doing a lot of I just bought a house on a contract for deed from a friend of mine from a church. He bought it for his daughter, and she decided she would rather live somewhere else with someone else. And so, so he needed to sell that house. So I bought it creatively. He would rather have monthly income. Well, I mean, once we talked about it, he realized he would rather have monthly income than a check. And he realized that that was good for him. So we were talking about part of the conversation. It's just part of the conversation, getting people to understand that that creative solution may be of benefit to the seller much more than a cash offer.
So. Right.
Yeah, I like what you said, that understanding the motivation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then you can provide solutions or, and so forth. So that's awesome.
There's one thing that, one thing I realized probably about 4 years ago in constantly coming back to your class, Chris, is that for a long time I was here, I came and I was like absorbing all this information about subject to and all this creative stuff. And then all of a sudden one time I'm sitting here and I'm listening and I realize, man, I don't, has he ever said that before? Because it was, what I heard was more about negotiating with the seller and the conversation you're having with the seller and all of that was inside there. And now looking back, I'm like, it must have been there the whole time because it's been there for the last 4 years, you know, the same thing. But I just wasn't ready to hear. It must have been there, but I just wasn't ready to hear that. But there is so much in your class, in your classes about negotiating and talking to the sellers and really getting down to what is important to them and being able to, you know, even so much as the language that you use to make sure that they hear the offer. To make sure they actually hear the offer as opposed to just confusing them, really. Mm-hmm. So there's so much in his class that it took me 4 years to just hear that part, and I still learn something new every time I'm, you know, sitting and talking to Chris. So.
Or driving him through San Francisco.
Or driving him the long way.
I learn a lot, too.
How many exits he misses?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, what? That looks familiar. Yeah, Chris, we're going this way.
Right, right. Different way.
I found a new way. That's awesome. What's that one thing that you want people to know out there about what we do?
The one thing, the one takeaway is creativity is, it's not a gift. It's more of a skill set that one can develop. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons we kind of bring it back to Batman. Batman has a tool belt, and it doesn't do him any good at all to pull out the wrong tool. Right. And so creativity involves listening to the challenge, understanding what is the challenge, understanding who owns that challenge. Is it my challenge? Is it the seller's challenge? And then once we understand that seller's challenge, that seller's motivation, then we can form a deal that, or an offer. We can form an offer that's going to make sense to them, we hope. And I'm the first to say that when I started, about 1 in 7 of my offers were accepted. So don't get the idea that if they say no, that you've done your job poorly. If you get more yeses than no, you're paying too much. It's, absolutely. If you get more yeses than nos, you're paying too much. So the idea is understanding what is the challenge, who owns the challenge, correct that offer relative to the challenge, and present it in a way that they understand the benefit of that offer to them. And if they understand the benefit to them, they're more likely to say yes. Right. And most of the time, they won't. And that's okay.
Right.
Yeah, I look. That's awesome, because I look at it as 1 out of 7, right? That's not bad, if you think about the numbers, right?
It's better now, because they call me.
Because they call you, right? So the point, though, is that, 1 out of 7 were favorable, mm-hmm. but you went through the experience and the learning cycles through those mm-hmm. 7, mm-hmm. and then you did 1 out of 7 again, so now you have experience over the 14 that you've put together, and that just grows exponentially to where now they are calling you,
right?
So that's mm-hmm. the game changer, right? But it becomes consistency. And earlier you said you bought these tapes, right? Mm-hmm. Not to date ourselves, but you bought tapes.
Yeah, that's right.
And you absorbed it all. Mm-hmm. But really, it's you absorbed it, and like you said, you took action.
Taking action.
And you kept taking action. Mm-hmm. And you got your bumps and bruises, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, absolutely. Everybody does.
Like, right, we all do, everybody right? We does. Scrape our knees, we get right. back up, and it's all good. But it's really about commitment, consistency, activity, right? And once you can put those things together, that's awesome. Yeah. So there you go, guys. Tell you what, Chris, thank you so much. Appreciate you spending the time with us. I know you got to catch a flight and all that other good stuff.
Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome.
For stopping in. I know that everybody got a blast in your class this weekend, so great stuff. And you can play with Batman again.
I don't get his lies to lie to
him. So, yeah, so there me. You go. So now you know who we all learn things from. It's Mr. Chris Albin here. So again, thanks for the time. You guys just, you probably need to listen to this a few times. So rewind, listen to it again. At the end of it all, though, it's all about creating the opportunity, right? Create the opportunity and good things will come. So you learn from the best. You just got to keep going forward.